Look at verse 6. He said, that which is born of the flesh is flesh. That which is born of the spirit. He didn't call water anymore. It's spirit. Verse 7 said, marvel not that I said to you, you must be born again. So he didn't mention water at all. Verse 8 now said, the wind blows where it listed, and you hear the sound thereof and can't tell. So is he that is born of the spirit. Amen. So that means the water he mentioned just once in his conversation was referring to be born of the spirit. Hope you're hearing me. Now let's get back to Matthew 28. He then goes to verse 10 and says, teaching them. It shows you that I've always said this to you, that the Christian faith is a teaching faith. Is a teaching faith where we are taught God's word. We are reminded again about what God has said. The Christian faith is not is not a faith for rocket science. Some people think they are Christians so that they can use God. No. The Christian faith is not where we use God. That's why we are taught to know what we know. So, I mean, to know what we have in Christ. Glory to God. To know what we have in Christ. God wants us to come to knowledge. 1 Timothy chapter 2. 1 Timothy 2. From verses 3. It says, God, who would have all men to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. God wants us to come to knowledge. So the Christian faith is a knowledge faith. It's a knowledge faith where we are taught God's word from the scriptures. And when I say being taught God's word from the scripture, I mean you are taught everything. You are not taught selectively. Amen. You're not taught selectively where you're told to just read just one part of the book. Where you are told that, oh, the Old Testament is gone. No, the Old Testament is not gone. Amen. The Old Testament books. Now listen, can we say the Old Testament is gone? Yes. But the Old Testament books, no. The Old Testament book, Genesis to Malachi, is called scriptures, 2 Timothy 3, verse 16. All scriptures is given by the inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, as referring to Genesis and to Malachi. Amen. So when you use the word Old Testament books is referring to what? Genesis down to Malachi. Old Testament is referring to their conduct towards God's word, which is unbelief. Hope you are with me. Amen. The shadows are gone, but the scriptures remain. Hope you are following me. Amen. We'll look at this during CRC, like I said. Glory to God. I will explain that to us pre, during, and post-CRC. Amen. Amen. Glory to God. So, teaching there will involve to be taught everything. Now, the Old Testament books are important for us. Look at Romans 15, verse 4. Romans 15, 4. Paul is writing, and he says, whatsoever things were written aforetime, whatsoever things were written aforetime, I refer to Genesis down to Malachi. I told you the Bible of Jesus is Genesis down to Malachi. The Bible of Jesus is not Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John because they were not written. Hope you are with me. The Bible of Paul is not Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. They were not written. So what will Paul have as scripture? Genesis down to Malachi. Don't never forget it at all. If you don't know it, then you have never been part of our church. I've taught you that over and again, right? Amen. He said, whatsoever things were written aforetime. Say, we're written for our learning. We're written for our learning that we, through the patience and comfort of scriptures, will have hope. Hallelujah. So, what Paul has done is that Paul has shown a connection between what he is writing and the Old Testament books. That the Old Testament books and the New Testament books are linked up together. What he's writing, the epistles and the Old Testament books are linked up together. Therefore, we have to read it together. Say, I have to read the Old Testament books and the New Testament books together. Amen. Glory to God. Therefore, we can say the Old Testament books gives a background, a context of the New Testament book. So that means when Paul is writing to them, he's reading it from the Old Testament book. So therefore, the Old Testament book will be a background. If I say blessed, for example, blessed, you will not read blessed in your word today. Today, when I tell you I want to bless you, you will think of, Pastor is going to give me rubber, right? So that they can quench my supper or my supper. Amen. But that's what we think. In our world today, someone tells, I want to bless you, man. Your mind is going to material things. But when you are blessed in the Bible, blessed is used for an acceptance. I've said that to us again and again, right? It's used for an acceptance. Therefore, I have to look at words from the Bible first. I must not read Bible in my world. Amen. If I'm to read Bible, if I'm to read words in the Bible in my world today, a sister will be coming to her, to church, covering their head, wearing Mary Amaka. Because you are reading it in your world. But you have to go back to their world and read what was Moses writing about. When he said, a woman should not put on that which belonged unto a man, that which pertained to a man. Amen. And people are there thinking it's trouser. Ha! There's a problem, oh. Glory to God. And you would now, you know, that was like 3 years ago. I taught us something. I said, Moses was wearing a skirt. How many of you remember that? I showed you that Moses wore skirt. So therefore, skirt was not originally for women. Can you now see? Say, how? It is in the Bible. Jesus didn't wear trousers. Trousers is a new invention. So, before you jump into unnecessary and stupid conclusion, read your Bible well in their world. Right? Is that not it? Aaron was putting on his skirt. The priests were to wear skirt. I'm not saying tomorrow you come to church with skirts. I said, brother, I will chase you out. Amen. Glory to God. I will chase you out. I'll be the first person to stop you. Come on to your house. But I just wanted you to understand what, again, when I taught it, I'm not here to teach it to. When I taught you, so that you understand the implication of words, right? Hey, what is that judging? Glory to God. Hallelujah. So that means words will have their roots in the Old Testament books. Is that what we said? Hallelujah. So we said Abraham was not wealthy, was not wealthy because God called him. And that is going to hit hard on materialistic gospel. It's going to hit hard on those who preach, you must serve God so that you can be wealthy. Amen. It's going to hit hard on them. Where is your tithe so that you will not be tight? It's going to hit hard on them. Because Abraham was wealthy when God called him. So the blessedness of Abraham will be tied to what? His acceptance into God's kingdom and men that would come to God because of him. Hallelujah. So therefore we say the blessedness of God is fruitfulness. Was that what we said? It's fruitfulness, to be fruitful. Fruitful how? In the kingdom of God. Genesis chapter 1 verse 28. God blessed them and said, be fruitful, multiply and replenish the earth. Hallelujah. Hope you are following me. Hope you are following me. Okay. So we began looking at the right hand of God. Let's get quickly into our teaching. God will have a whole lot to look at this morning. Hallelujah. The right hand of God. So we said, the right hand. Right hand, many times in scripture, is used figuratively. Not literally. It's used figuratively to show strength, to show power. The right hand is used figuratively to show strength, to show power. Right? Hallelujah. Therefore, we said, the right hand of God is used to show, or is used for God's activities. I'll put it like this. The right hand of God is used to show God's strength in deliverance, in his miracles, signs, and wonders. God's strength in deliverance. His miracles, signs, and wonders. You can call the right hand of God is used for God's activities in the earth. God's activities in the earth. Exodus chapter 15 verse 6. Exodus 15 verse 6. Right after they have done, or right after they have crossed the Red Sea. Immediately they crossed the Red Sea, then they sang the song of thanksgiving to God. And in verse 6, look at what they said. They said, thy right hand, O Lord, is become glorious in power. Thy right hand, O Lord, has dashed in pieces the enemy. Hallelujah. So that means what happened on the Red Sea, or in the Red Sea, was the showcasing of God's right hand. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Remember I told you last week, I said God's right hand. If you say right hand, and you're reading it in today's world, you say God beat people with his right hand. God dealt with, it's not one hand. I've said that to us, it's not one hand. Where you use one hand to beat people. I remember then growing up. Today, you know, people think, permit me, I just want to say this. People think women are weaker vessels. But when we were small in school, I will never forget a Blackie. Her name is Sarah. They brought her from Jos, from village. She used to beat everybody in class. You don't look for trouble, oh. All of us then in primary one blue. Sarah will beat all of us. Lo and behold, I was Nana's seat partner. I saw Shaggy. You know, somebody saw Shaggy. I saw Shaggy. You know? So then one day like that, there was now another bully. His name is Mumuni. Mumuni. That one repeated the class. So Sarah was now in our class in primary two. Sarah didn't resume on time. So Mumuni was terrorizing the whole class. I think some of your pastors know Mumuni. Now it's camp. Amen. You know, I attended one of our meetings then in Olomowe. No, it's not Olomowe. Lemo Ogoloko. So now he's come. You know, now there are some people you can't bully. Yeah. That bully, his bully stopped when Sarah beat him. We just sent Sarah. One hand. So whenever I hear me talk one hand, it's Sarah in my head. Sarah used one hand to beat Mumuni. Amen. Amen. But she didn't finish school with us. She went back to the village. Glory to God. I've looked for her everywhere. I've been looking for her. Sarah, one hand. She will beat you and put sand in your mouth. But when you say the right hand of God, it's not God using one hand. And I said that last week. Amen. So when you see women are weaker vessels, just because of marriage, oh, some women are stronger vessels. They were stronger than some men joined together. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So God's right hand is God's excellence. God's activities. Hallelujah. The exhibition of God's strength, his power, his miracles, signs and wonders in the earth. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So we began looking at what therefore is Jesus, when the Bible says Jesus is at the right hand of God. What does it mean? Amen. When you say Jesus at the right hand, and we said the importance of that is so that we would also know whatever thing we'll find or what that means will have an implication on us. Ephesians chapter 1, quickly everybody. Ephesians 1:19. We're going to read that together. Ephesians 1:19. We'll read that together. And when he sees me, he sees me in him. Are you there? Okay, let's read verse 30 together. One, to go. No. Let's read as though they paid our school fees, because they did. Verse 19, one, to go. And what is the exceeding greatness of his power to us who believe, according to the workings of his mighty power, which he wrought in Christ, when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in the heavenlies. Hallelujah. So, Jesus is in the heavenlies at God's right hand. So what does it mean? What does it mean? Jesus is at the right hand of God. Now, here's the implication that whatever that means. Remember I told you, right hand of God, Jesus at the right hand of God doesn't mean you get to heaven. You see a big throne and you see God sitting. And you now see Jesus at the right hand like this or sitting at the right hand. No, that's not what it means. The right hand is used there figuratively, like I said to us. Hallelujah.
Because Jesus himself is God.
Hallelujah.
Glory to God. Because Jesus himself is God. Look at chapter 2 quickly. Chapter 2. Amen. It's gone awful. Amen. Chapter 2. Verses 5. Okay. And when we were dead, had it. The echo is much, please. Amen. Okay, look at verses 5. It says, even when we were dead in sin, had quickened us together with Christ. He said, by grace you are saved. And has raised us up together and made us to sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus.
So we are seated where?
In Christ Jesus in the heavenly. So where is Jesus sitting? The right hand of. So that means we are at the right hand of God. Right? So what does it mean when he said we are at the right hand of God? So we began looking at that last week also. And we said the importance of that right hand, right, is the reason why when Stephen said to the Pharisees that Jesus was at the right hand of God in Acts of Apostles chapter 7, they stoned him. Acts 7:56. The moment Stephen said that, they killed him. Because Stephen had accused them in verses 51 to 56, into 55, that they killed Jesus. They said, which of the prophets have your fathers not killed? He said, they also accused them of killing Jesus, right? Amen. Then he now said, behold, he said, I see Jesus sit standing at the right hand of God. And they closed their ears and killed him for blasphemy. So what was the importance of that? We said that, right? So we said, last week, so we looked at all this last week. We said in Ephesians chapter 1, what's the implication of this? In Ephesians 1, verses 19, we said, we saw Ephesians 1, 19 quickly again. He said, this is echoing, please. It says, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power to us who believe? According to the workings of his mighty power. So we said there that the resurrection of Jesus is the showcasing of God's power. We said the resurrection is the exhibition of God's power. That's Bible scholars will tell you a verse that has the most concentration of the power of God in scriptures is Ephesians 1:19. Amen. He used all demonstrations or all examples of the power of God. Amen. We have more concentration of the power of God than in any other verse in Ephesians 1:19. So that means the resurrection, right, is a demonstration of God's power. So that is why Paul will now call that resurrection that it is Jesus at the right hand of God. So that means the resurrection is God's right hand. We are seeing this. Just follow me. We said this last week. We said the resurrection is the exhibition of the right hand of God, the power of God. Because the right hand of God is the power of God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Acts of Apostles chapter 2 verse 29. Peter also collaborated this. Acts 2. Look at Acts 2 verse 29. Please. I need you to follow me in these teachings. Acts 2 29. Are you there? I'll speak. I'll read. Men and brethren, let me freely speak to you of the patriarch David. He is both dead and buried, and his sepulcher is here with us unto this day. Therefore, being a prophet and knowing that God sworn with an oath to him, that of the fruit of his loins, according to the flesh, he will raise up Christ to sit in his throne. He seen this before, spake of the resurrection of Christ, that his soul was not left in hell. There that his flesh did see corruption. Said, this Jesus had God raised up. Watch it. This Jesus had God raised up.
Wherefore we are all witness. Therefore, being at the right hand of God exalted. Can you see what he explained as the right hand of God? He said, this Jesus had God raised up. He says, being at the right hand of God exalted. Hallelujah. Therefore, what Peter is explaining as the resurrection is by the right arm. Peter is saying the resurrection is a demonstration of God's right hand. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The Jews understand when you say right hand, when you hear right hand of God, the Jews know that the right hand of God is used to show that someone is alive. Someone is alive. It's called used for the resurrection from the dead. So the Jews are aware. So when Stephen said Jesus is alive, how did he say it? Act 7 quickly. Rush quickly to Act 7. Let's look at verse 56 again. Act 7:56. It says, and behold, I see the heavens open and the Son of Man standing on the right hand of God. And they cried out with a loud voice and stopped their ears and ran upon him with one accord and cast him out of the city and stoned him. So what did Stephen say when he said he saw Jesus standing at the right hand of God? Because they are Jews and they understand at the right hand of God is to show that Jesus, who they said is dead, is alive. They said, this is blasphemy. Hallelujah. And then they stoned him. Glory to God. So that means the right hand of God is used for the resurrection of Jesus. So what is the implication of the resurrection? What does the resurrection mean? We were here all through last week. What does the resurrection mean? What does the resurrection mean? Luke 24, from verses 25, Jesus speaking. He says, O fools, slow of heart to believe in all the prophets that spoken. He said, ought not the Christ to suffer these things, verse 26. Let's open to Luke 24. I discovered that people just like me to read my scriptures without them opening their Bibles. Luke 24. Quickly. Luke 24, verse 46. Verse 26 rather. So Jesus entered where he has never been. So where is that place? Or it says, that means, are you saying Jesus has never been to heaven? No, that's not what he's saying. That's why you need to understand the implication of the resurrection. He says he entered into where he has never been. And that place is called his glory. Hallelujah. So where has he never been? That is, Jesus has come to us. Hallelujah. Where has he never been? He has never been in a man. Glory to God. That is his glory. His glory is the indwelling. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We said that last week, right? Look at John 14. Let me show you that again in John 14. John 14 verse 16 into 18. Remember in verses 2 of that same John 14 verses 2, it says, in my father's house are many mansions. If you're not so, I wouldn't have told you, I go prepare a place for you. So, watch it. I go prepare a place. And I remember explaining to us that to prepare there is to prepare something internal. Right? Amen. 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 To prepare something internal. So let's go ahead. So look at verses 16. It says, and I'll pray the Father, and he'll give you another comforter that he may abide with you forever. Watch it. He said, even the Spirit of truth. Listen to this. He's explaining that his glory, that's the place where he's going. Remember they've asked him, show us the way. Tell us where you are going. Now he's explaining it. He said, I'll pray the Father. He will give you another comforter that he may abide with you forever. He said, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive. Because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him. We say, but ye know him, for he dwells with you and shall be in you. Say, I will not leave you comfortless. What will he do? I will come to you. Did you see that? Hallelujah. So that means the indwelling of the Holy Ghost is Jesus coming to us.
Hallelujah. Hope you're following me. We say, in my father's house are many mansions. Don't stop. Don't you see? That's why I don't like, I won't want or allow my children to hear some of the things I heard when I was growing up. I didn't say that. I'm not saying that they are bad. Right? Some of the things I heard, the kind of things that was taught growing up in quote Sunday school. They were good stories, but not good stories did us more harm than good. I'm always ready to answer her questions about Bible. I will answer. Amen. Because we hear things in church. Our fathers will our parents will complicate it for us. I remember one time that they told us the way you live your life will tell how your mansion will be in heaven. Mansion? I told you, someone told me sincerely. He said, my own is just to make heaven. I don't want to be a big man in heaven. He said, I just want to be, even if it is a gate man. Someone told me sincerely. In heaven. What do you think heaven is? What do you think heaven is? Someone said, I'd rather be a pom-pom carrier in heaven than to be a big man in hell. What do you know heaven and hell is? You don't know. Amen. You don't know. That's why you're saying the things you say. Someone said, this one is, there was one time like that. Now let me align two things together. My dad was on singing a song for us. I learned it from my dad. Then I started hearing it in church. If you do good, kingdom, oh, kingdom. Oh, kingdom waiting for you. If you do bad, no more kingdom. Oh, no more kingdom. Oh, no more kingdom waiting for you. Now, they don't want us to do bad things. I understand. Then my mom man continued the conversation from there. You know what you mean of conversation? She now continued the teaching. She started doing hermeneutics, apologia. That you see, the way you live your life will tell how your mansion will be. See, some people will have duplex, big house. Other people will be staying inside shop. You know, Marine Market shop. See, some people, their own house will be, you know, Marine Market has lock-up shop. Now have open shade. See, some people's house will be like that in heaven. Some people will not even have house to sleep in heaven. You know, this thing began to disturb my head. Now went to church again. What sleep will do for you? Amen. You tickles. Amen. Glory to God. Some people now, and I went to church again. They now taught me again another song. Heaven is an air-conditioned home where Jesus Christ is preparing for us. Come on, everybody. So, and we don't have AC at home. So what do you expect? And this is December period where you sleep and wake up in heat. And there's national grid collapse. So heaven will be an air-conditioned home. Amen. See, the streets of heaven are made of gold. How? Gold. Gold is earthly. It's because you don't have gold. Hope you're following me. So they've used different descriptions to explain what heaven is to us that are wrong. So the moment you can afford a goat on earth, you say, why do I need heaven? Abby? Is it not the same goat? Glory to God. So you now started your heavenly race. Heavenly race. I no go tire. Heavenly race. I no go tire, I no go tire. Oh, you're my guest set. Your heavenly race, you know, your heavenly race, you do not win one soul. Heavenly race. That's my heavenly race. Amen? What are you following me? You are doing heavenly race. You know what it means. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So you are not living your life. I want to build mansion in heaven. I want to build mansion in heaven. Okay. Let's now see the level of your greed. Everybody look up here. Let's see the level of your greed. You want to build mansion in heaven. How many rooms mansion? 50 rooms. How many people will stay there? You and who? Heaven will be a boring place if it's about building rooms. Hope you know that. To be very boring. Only you. Okay, which you watch, like, I was ashamed on Friday night that your pastor was wearing Barcelona. I didn't want to pray with him, but I forgive him. How can you be wearing Barcelona? And you are supporting Real Madrid and you're wearing Barcelona. Can water and oil mix? Let me forgive him. Amen. Amen. You want to go to heaven and you will sit in room 1 on Monday, room 30. Watching what? Watching Netflix. Amen. You know, that heaven is going to be a very boring place. You need to ask yourself, why is it that people that get to heaven never want to come back? Then you know that it's not the rubbish you are talking about. Amen. Hope you are following me. You know, it's not all these things you are talking about. It's not at all. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So, the moment you think heaven is about building mansion, I say mansion, then you're wrong. But Jesus said, yeah, my father's house are many mansions. He said, my father's house are mansions, right? Is that not what he said? English student, do you have mansions inside house? So when he says house are many mansions, that means you have to sit down. Let's understand what these mansions are or is, right? In my father's house are many mansions. You don't have mansions inside house. In fact, let's now come further. The word house there is the Greek word oikia, used for family. In my father's family are many mansions. Which mansions is he talking about? The word mansions is where you have in the Greek dwelling places. So that means Jesus was talking about a dwelling place for God. Hallelujah. Now, if you now read verse 23, he now brings in mansions again as dwelling place. John 14, 23. Can we read verse 23 together? 1, 2, go. Verse 23, John 14, 23, 1, 2, go, 23. And Jesus has said unto him, if a man love me, he will keep my words, and my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our abode with him. So the abode there is the mansions. That means in the resurrection of Jesus, when a man believes in him, Jesus will live in him. Amen. Amen. That has never happened in history, that God will live in a man. But that's God's plan for man. Hallelujah. Hope you are following me. But in the resurrection, that became possible. That God can now live in man. Hallelujah. It became possible that God can live in man. Glory to God. And that is the power of God. Hallelujah. That's the power of God. That is God's right hand. So therefore, the right hand of God is what? The indwelling of the Spirit. That means in the resurrection, what does the resurrection mean? As I told you, that the resurrection of Jesus is not a study. The resurrection of Jesus is the believer's everyday life. It's the reality of the believer. Because the resurrection means that he is living in us. Hallelujah. He's living in us. Say he's living in me. He is alive. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So when you sing, he's alive. Amen. He's alive. Don't sing he's alive and think Jesus is far away. Jesus, he's alive, meaning I'm alive in him. Hallelujah. He's alive, it means I'm alive. I'm alive in him. Glory to God. He's alive. Say, Jesus is alive. Glory to God. So, the indwelling of God is God's right hand. So in the resurrection of Jesus, God cannot live in man. That is the right hand of God. God cannot live in man. Glory to God.
He's living in me. He's living in me. He's the rotor of love, eternal life. He's living in me. He's living in me.
Sing the song.
Me. He's the rotor of love, eternal life. Where I am is where you are. You live in me. You walk through me. Where I am is where you are. It's living in me. Oh, you're walking through me.
The right hand of God is Jesus alive in us. Is that it? He's alive in me, I'm alive. He's alive means the same thing Jesus is doing, or Jesus did when he walked the street of the earth, the street of Jerusalem, the street of Israel, he can still do it today. Hallelujah. Hope you are with me. The same thing. The same thing. He can still do it today. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. He can still do it today, like I said. So let's look at some expressions. Look at Mark. Mark, quickly. Amen. Mark 16. Mark 16. Look at verse 19. Watch this and watch it well. Verse 19. It says, so then, after the Lord had spoken to them, he was received up into heaven and sat at the right hand of God. Now remember, Jesus is called Lord here. He says, and sat at the right hand of God. So what does it mean when he said he sat at the right hand of God? So that means, watch the expression. We said the right hand of God is where? The indwelling, right? Jesus in us and we in him. So what does it then mean when he now uses expressions like sat, stand? What does it mean? Because they have their implication. Amen. When he says sat, glory to God. Hallelujah. Now when you use the word sit there, to sit at the right hand of God, the word to sit doesn't, is not used for relaxation. No, no, say he's just relaxed, he's just folding his hand. He's watching at things. You know, people say that, he said such kind of things, that Jesus is, God is just looking at things and just shaking his head. Someone said, Angel Michael took trumpet, wanted to blow rapture. Wanted to blow. Then God blow the trumpet. And Jesus by the right hand sitting and turned to the Father. Say, Father, please, look at my blood. What rubbish storytelling are you saying? That's rubbish. Amen. What does it mean to sit? Now remember, I told you the word Jesus is at the right hand of God is not literal. Right? It's figurative for the indwelling. Now when he now use the word sit, sit too is not literal. It's figurative of something. So the word to sit doesn't mean to relax. No, it's not used for relaxing. Now remember, I told you again, what will have their meaning where? The Old Testament books. Let's go back to the Old Testament book. Let's see what it means to sit. Amen. What does it mean to sit? Many times, that word sit is used for authority. A seat is a, where is there somebody is in his seat, for example. A seat is a mark of authority. Is this authority? Is this authority? Hallelujah. Look at Esther chapter 3. Esther. Is Esther in the Bible?
Okay? Esther chapter 3. Quickly. We have a lot to look at this morning. Esther 3. Are you there? Verses 1. Is Esther in the Bible? No, Aladdin is in the Bible. Chapter 3, verse 1. Are you there? It says, after these things, the king promotes Haman, the son of Hamadatha, the Agagite, and advanced him and set his seat above all the priests that were with him. This is that to set his seat. So that seat there is his authority. So seat is used for authority. Amen. Seat is used for what? Authority. Hallelujah. Seat is used for authority. Authority where one carries out a tax form. So a seat is used for an authority where one carries out activities from. Look at Deuteronomy chapter 6. Deuteronomy chapter 6. Amen. Amen. Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 7. And thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and shall talk of them when thou sittest in thy house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou resteth up, or riseth up, sorry. So it says, when thou sittest, what shall they do? He shall teach. So the word sitting is used for activity, not relaxation. Activities. You find activities. Chapter 11, verse 19. Deuteronomy 11, 19. So, sitting is used for activities. It says, and ye shall teach them, your children, speaking of them, when thou seated in thy house. The same thing, repeats it again. Amen. So, sitting is used for activities, not for relaxing. Amen. Activities of teaching. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Deuteronomy 17. So verses. So verses 14. Now it's talking about the king. It says, and when thou art come into the land which the Lord giveth thee, thou shalt possess it, thou shalt dwell therein. Thou shalt say, I will set a king over me, like as all the nations that were about me. Thou shalt in any wise set me king over thee, whom the Lord thy God shall choose. One from among thy brethren shall thou set king over thee, that thou mayest not set a stranger over thee, which is not thy brother. But he shall not multiply horses to himself, nor cause the people to return to Egypt, to the end that he should multiply horses. For as much as the Lord hath said unto you, ye shall henceforth return no more that way. Look at 17. Neither shall he multiply wives to himself, that his heart turn not away. Neither shall he multiply to himself silver and gold. Verse 18. And it shall be, when he seated upon the throne of his kingdom, he shall write him a copy of this law in a book out of that which is before the priest and the Levite, and he shall be with him, and he shall read them there in all the days of his life. So he was giving the description of a king, and it says there a king would have to read the Torah, which is Genesis down to Deuteronomy, actually. Amen. The king will read Moses' writings. Hallelujah. Follow me. So that means the king is a teacher. The king of Israel was not supposed to be like the king of other nations. I'm going to teach you this also. The king of Israel is not like the king of other nations. Israel's king is a pastor. A pastor is the king of Israel. Because a pastor is a teacher. That's what Moses is writing here. A pastor is a teacher. Or a king is a teacher, a pastor of God's flock. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. You can also read 1 Kings chapter 1 verse 13. A king, I mean, the role of a king is to teach. Amen. Amen. So that means the role of a king is to teach. Kingship is not for relaxation. No. Hallelujah. Amen. Or sitting is not for relaxation. Sitting is used for activities. Psalms 1. Look at Psalms 1. Psalms 1. Are you there? He says, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the ways of sin, nor seated in the seat of discomfort. That seated in the seat of discomfort, is it relaxation or an activity? He's telling them not to carry on activity of unbelievers. That's what it means. Amen. Amen. So it's used for activities. Activities, functions. Proverbs. Look at verses 13. It says, a foolish woman is clamorous. She is simple and knoweth nothing. It says, for she seated at the door of her house, on a seat in the high places of the city. His activities, a function. Amen. Glory to God. He's giving you, he's not saying a foolish woman will be sitting down. You just see her sitting down and relax. No, he's talking about her function in the high places. So high places is used for what? Responsibilities. Amen. Functions that does not glorify God. Ezekiel chapter 28. Now this is used negatively too, but you see the implication of it. That's why we're looking at it. Ezekiel. So, if I look for Ezekiel 1, chapter 28, verse 2. Amen. It says, son of man, say to the prince of Tyrus, thus saith the Lord God, because thy heart is lifted up, and thou said, I am a God. I sit in the seat of God, in the midst of the seas, yet thou art a man, and not God. Though thou set thy height as the heart of God, behold, thou art wiser than Daniel. There's no secret in the city that can hide from thee. Say thy wisdom and thy understanding. Thou had gotten riches and had gotten gold and silver into thy treasure. Now, this is the word of the Lord concerning the king of Tyrus. Amen. Amen. He's concerning a king. So he used it. He said he has said in his heart, right? He said in his heart, oh, I am a God, and I sit in the seat of God. In the seat of God means, it doesn't mean he went to carry seat and said, this is God's chair and I'm sitting. No, meaning he has taken up blasphemy against God. Amen. He has taken up functions that serve, that stands as blasphemy against God. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Hope you're following me. Glory to God. It's used for an activity. In Acts 23, verses 3, is used for an activity. When Paul told Ananias, the high priest, when Ananias requested that the soldiers should slap Paul, and Paul told him that he seated and judged wrongly. So Paul accused him of judging wrongly from his seat. So that seat was a seat of activities. Amen. Amen. So, seat is used figuratively too for activities. So let's get back to Jesus. Hebrews 1:13. Let's get back to Jesus. When it says Jesus is seated at the right hand of God, what does it mean? Hebrews 1:13. It says, but to which of the angels said he at any time, sit on my right hand till I make thy enemies thy footstool. Sit at my right hand. Now, is that literal or figurative? Is it literal or figurative? So Jesus at the right hand of God, which is the indwelling. Is it for relaxation or activities?
Activities. Hallelujah. Glory to God.
Activities. Activities. Glory to God. If you read that Act of Apostles chapter 2 again, from verses 31, you will see that Peter will explain that right hand of God that he was talking about as activities of Jesus in the resurrection. He will say, these tongues that you see, it is Jesus who had made this to happen. Hallelujah. So he accepts these that you now see and hear. Acts 2, 31 to 36. Because of time, I begin to close. Glory to God. Hallelujah. So Jesus, let's take this home. Jesus at the right hand of God is a show of authority. Is that it? It's a show of authority. The indwelling. So that means the indwelling means the authority of Jesus is with us. No wonder Jesus said, Lord, authority has been given to me in heaven and the earth, therefore go. That means he has given the authority to the church. The indwelling is the authority of God with the believer. Hallelujah. So Jesus at the right hand of God is a show of authority. Hallelujah. The indwelling is a show of the authority of God available to the believers. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. It is also a show of God's activities in the earth today. Right? Because we said to sit is activities. That means God is still doing his work in the earth today. You believe that? He's still doing his work in the earth today. Jesus is still doing miracles. Hope you know that. Mark 16. Let's get to Mark 16. Verse 15. He said, go into all the world, all the nations, the world, and preach the gospel to every creation. He said, he that believed, that believes, rather, and is baptized shall be saved. He that believes not shall be them. Mark 16. He said, I said, these signs shall follow them that believe. Mark the signs. Say, in my name they will cast out devils. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. How many of us have casted out devils here? You've casted out devils. Let me see your hands. You've casted out devils here. Oh, I've done it. Hallelujah, I've done it. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Glory to God. How many of you will cast out devils the more in the coming days? You cast out devils? You believe the words of Jesus. Amen. My name will cast out devils. Glory to God. Say they will do what next? Come on, are you done with your Bibles? Don't speak with tongues. How many of you speak with tongues? Okay? So they will take up serpents. And if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They will lay their hands on the sick. And the sick will recover. How many of you have laid your hands on the sick before? Hallelujah. Look at verse 19. So then, after the Lord had spoken to them, he was received up where? Into where? And sat now, is that the indwelling? Okay. I sat at the right hand of God. Verse 20. And they went forth and preached with the Lord walking. I thought he's heaven somewhere. No, because heaven is in us. And with us, so therefore, the Lord walking with them is the right hand of God. That is the heaven. He is walking with them. That is the sitting. He's not relaxing. He's walking with them. Hallelujah. With the Lord walking with them and doing what? And confirming the word with signs following. Hallelujah. So that means the miracles were still continuing. It didn't stop because he had gone. No, it continued. Hallelujah. The preaching continued. Glory to God. So the indwelling, the right hand of God is the Lord walking with them. The right hand of God is what? The Lord walking with them. Tell somebody the right hand of God,
is God walking with them.
Hallelujah. What does he mean? He means Jesus is still walking in the earth today. Hallelujah. Jesus is still walking in the earth today. I'll explain this by next week. He's still walking in the earth today. He's still walking in the earth today. He's still doing it today. And he's doing it through his church. He's doing it through you and I. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Therefore, when I look at the book of Acts, you know the book of Acts, you find them preaching the gospel. You find them healing the sick. That is the Lord walking with them. That is the Lord walking. So that means we can say the book of Acts. Listen, the book of Acts is the right hand of God in demonstration. God walking with them. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So the book of Acts is the right hand of God. God walking with them. They have miracles, signs, and wonders. Hallelujah. Glory to God. The work of ministry. The preaching the gospel. The reaching the unsaved. Right? Reaching the unsaved. Reaching the lost. Telling them about the love of Jesus. Speaking to people about the love of Jesus. Speaking to people and getting them born again. Healing the sick. These are demonstrations of the right hand of God. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. These are demonstrations of the right hand of God. God is still walking in the earth today. And is doing it through you and I. That is the right hand of God. Hallelujah. You know, we are going out to outreach this week. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So as you're going out for outreach to lay hands on the sick, power outreach, laying hands on the sick, laying hands on the blind, the deaf. You know what you're doing? It's the right hand of God at work. Jesus is still walking in the earth. And this week, many more deaf ears will be unstopped.
Yes.
You believe that?
Yes,
say, by my hands.
By my hands.
By my hands. Many more deaf ears. Will be unstopped. This week, blind eyes will see. I'm walking with Jesus. He's walking with me. I'm at the right hand of God. I'm at the right hand of God. Hallelujah. You know, I told you the right hand of God is righteousness. And righteousness means to stand before God without any form of guilt. So that means there's no guilt here. Hallelujah. There's no guilt here. It doesn't mean that we are perfect people, but we don't hold guilt. Amen. Are we remorseful? Yes, we get remorseful when we do things wrong. But you know, we can stand boldly and do the work of God in the earth. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Many more sick people will get healed. This week. Hallelujah. We're having more testimonies. Glory to God. We are not going to dwell on yesterday's testimonies. No, we're not going to dwell. And you know, as a church, we don't put out those testimonies online. We don't put it out online. Glory to God. We don't need man's accolades. No. Just in preparing for which meeting? Which meeting was that? Was it Glory Meeting Kaduna? Right? Yeah. Glory Meeting Kaduna. They went out for publicity. Oh. Publicity that people would just go and give out flyers. Was it not that? They went out for publicity and then they met someone who was deaf. Deaf. And they laid hands. And the person began to hear. In Kaduna. They didn't put it out. They didn't say, get camera. You know, I see some people do those rubbish. Get camera. They are putting it on Facebook, TikTok. Can you hear? Touch like this. Come here. Can you hear? Give Jesus a big hand. I give you blow. Amen. Amen. We are not after social media accolades. No. We are doing the works of Jesus. Hope you know that. Hope you know that. Glory to God. Many more sick people will be healed.
Yes.
This week. Hallelujah. You know, last month outreach, we had records of miracles. Instant miracles. Hallelujah. We didn't go there with cameras. We didn't go there with our phones. No, when the sick began to jump that they were healed. We say, oh yeah, videos. No, we don't need that. We don't need that. Hallelujah. Glory to God. I know someone one day, the person was asking me, in your church, you're only preaching.
I told the person, if I tell you the amount of miracles that I've seen with my eyes, I don't want to talk about the ones I've done by laying on of hands. The ones I've seen with my eyes, you would run. But we don't come online to start talking about it. Hallelujah. Just right here during convention, we had, you know, convention, I said I was not going to lay hands. How many of you remember that? I was not going to lay hands particular on any sick, but that everybody that is believers convention, we will lay hands on ourselves. And you know the amount of miracles that happened? They didn't come to tell you. No, they don't need to tell you. Amen, but the report got to me. Glory to God. Kidney conditions were healed. Kidney conditions were healed. Yeah. Yeah. Glory to God. One of you from around there laid hands on somebody, and the person was healed of a chronic sickness that has been in the person's body for months and years. I didn't come to say, oh, glory to God. No. No. Somebody here, I know the person. Glory to God. And the person was healed. Hope you are with me. Glory to God. I will have much more this week. We'll have much more this week. You know, you are not going to carry phones to want to snap. Hope you are with me. You're not going to carry phone and say, I want to take picture. Chakam. Let's take video. Chakam. No. But you know, as you, now I'm showing you the kind of mindset you should have as you go. What kind of mindset as you go? It is, I'm at the right hand of God. Jesus is alive and he will do more miracles. Hallelujah. As you get into the hospitals, many more blind eyes will see. Glory to God. Many people with sick bodies will be healed. Sick bodies will be healed. Hallelujah. You won't see a sickness and say this one is incurable. No, you will lay your hands. Hallelujah. Glory to God. For many of them, you will see instant miracles. Instant miracles. Don't be scared to tell someone, stand up and walk. Hold the person and say, stand up and walk. And the person will walk. Glory to God. The person won't fall back to the floor. The person's leg will receive strength. And the person will walk. Hallelujah. We're having such kind of times. Glory to God. Hallelujah. I'll share one just a little testimony with us. And this happened a while ago. I think it stayed in my heart while preparing for this teaching, and even while I was here talking, it just kept coming to my mind. And I think it's going to bless someone here. You know, in around 2007, after Nigerian Airways as a sacked all their staff because the airline was no longer in function. So there is none a man. Many of them died. Many people died because of they were not planning for such kind of retirement and the likes. Government job, everybody, thousands of people were relieved of their job. So this man had developed stroke. Stroke, and he was told, in fact, the doctors have told him that he was going to get a wheelchair. That his, they measured the level of stroke. It was severe. He can't move his hands. Amen. His right, his hands were paralyzed down to his leg. He couldn't move. So we got there. My friend, myself and my friend, Brother G. So we wanted to minister to him. I was the one that ministered. So Brother G was at the back and he lifted up his hand and was speaking in tongues. I was the one. So I told the man that I'm here to discharge you. The man was telling me he's waiting for, listen to what the man said. The man spoke like that guy that Jesus met by the poolside. And I said, what do you want me to do for you? He said, I've been here, and there's nobody to push me into the pool whenever I want to enter. That's what this man was saying. I said, I've come to discharge you, that you'll be healed. Young boy, I just finished SS3. So that was around 2005 into 2006, sorry. So I just finished SS3. And I was waiting to get to school. So I was looking very young, small. So he told me, yes, my son, I understand. Imagine someone close to 60. I understand. I'm also waiting for my pastor to come. When my pastor come and pray for me, I know. I believe, say, I will be healed. I said, no, sir. I have come to discharge you. The man was shocked. He said, yes, I understand. That his pastor is going to come. He trusts that his pastor. And I said, no, sir. I mentioned my name, have come to discharge you. So I taught him God's word because I saw that he was doubting. So I now taught him about faith. Spoke about faith.
When I was done with that, I thought, do you believe God? He said, I believe God. I believe God, my son.
He was calling me his son.
So I said, I believe God. I believe God, my son. So I told him, in the name of Jesus, be healed. I lay there, so I told him, stand up. Well, I said, you know what you're going to do? You can't lift your right hand. He said, yes. I said, now lift it up. The man actually struggled to lift it up. He said, he can't take it up. Then I assisted him with the right hand. And I made sure he put it in his mouth. As I released the hand, he fell off. I held the hand. I said, this is strength. And I put it up again. The man lifted it up to this point. He said, it has never gotten to this point before. He was happy. I said, he's going to get to your mouth. You know, sometimes you should know when Satan wants you to stop the miracle there and when you take it to the next level. You know, if I stop there, the guy will just say, maybe it's one of those things. But he did it. His hand got to his mouth. Once, twice. I said, now you're going to walk. Amen. And then I took him off. Right there in the hospital. You know, then there was no Facebook. What we had was high five. And then the kind of phones that I was using was Nokia 3330. So it doesn't even have camera, but we can do Facebook with it. I mean, I said we can do high five with it. Amen. So the way we put pictures on high five there was you go and snap your picture. Then you now put the picture on, then scan it to a computer. From computer, you now log into high five. Now put your picture. You can't use your phone. So camera what? You can do camera with your phone then. So there was no way we could put it on social media. Can you see? Aha! You see how bad social media has spoiled a lot of us. Let's say you now put it on TikTok. No. Amen. Glory to God. So I told the guy to stand up. The guy stood up. Yeah, I supported him. I said, there's life in your leg. There's strength in your leg. Now take a walk. I was holding him. He was walking. He was limping. He was walking. He was limping. But he was doing it. He was doing it. He was trying. He was limping. He was doing it. I said, you're going to do it better. He was doing it. He was getting better. He was the only one there. There was no distraction. Me, my friend, and him. So he was doing it. He was trying to do it around the whole. He was doing it little by little. The next thing, the wife came in. The wife was who scattered the whole hospital that day. The wife just came in and saw that the husband was sleeping. She just shouted, praise! You know how women fellowship can be. Oh, the matron, all the nurses, all they ran into the room. What is happening? The guy was already limping. Was already limping and walking. He hadn't done that for months. He was limping and walking. So when I saw that people were too much, me and my friend, we just did like this. And then we ran away. But we already collected his address. Ran away. I didn't want to, because that was things we said to ourselves then. We don't want accolades. Then a week later, we went to the hospital. They said he was no longer there. But we knew his house. His house was here, right there in Mafuluku. So we traced him to his house. And we got to his house. We asked him, where is? That was the first thing my friend did. My friend is, sometimes we could be crazy when we were younger. He said, where is the wheelchair? He said there was no need for a wheelchair, that they had to discharge him. Okay, what about the crutches? He told us that there was no need for crutches. That right there in his house, he stood up and went to put on the fan. He said, let me show you people. He said, he is now well within 1 week. Amen. God is a miracle worker. And this week, we would have many testimonies of miracles. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I'm at the right hand of God. I'm at the right hand of God. And this week we are going to have exhibition of the power of God. Hope you are hearing me. It's going to be many. Many. And we'll have testimonies upon testimonies. Glory to God. I told your pastor that we're going to do something. That we should start that. Your pastors will call you if you have testimonies and miracles. We are documenting them down. We are not documenting them to put it on social media. No. We are documenting it so that it will be a reference point for us in church. Any member of church can go up to check what are the miracles. You know, so that you can stir your heart up too for miracles. That's the reason for it. We can stir our hearts for miracles. Amen. Because we'll be recording several miracles in church. Several. And we don't get those things done. It's not right for us not to get it down. We want to write it down, not so that we can publicize it. It will never go out on media. It will never be put on any book. But it's for us. Now we can remind ourselves again, this is what God is doing with us. In their numbers and in their thousands. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Do you believe God? Miracles will happen. And you know it will start from your homes. Amen. It will start from your homes. Glory to God. You start from your homes. And right now I pray. Any sickness in any home. Any sickness, anyone in need of miracle in any home. Represented here this morning. Miracles are yours. Healings are yours. Right now. The wonder working power of Jesus is working in your homes. Your parents will receive healings. Your loved ones will receive healings. Just have them in your heart right now as I pray like this. Have them in your heart that they are healed. Right now, they are healed. In the name of Jesus. If you are here and you are expecting miracles, healing for someone, I'm not calling you out. But under your breath, mention the name of the person and say they are healed. Right now, receive their healing for them. You yourself receive healing for yourself. Receive their healings for them right now. Right here. Right now. The power of God is working. Yeah? I see open eyes. I see open ears.